Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to New Hope East Hawaii. And I just want to say thank you to our men's worship group, men's ministry. You know, every other church that I went to was always a problem to get the men to come up and sing. I don't know why. But every worship team that I was on was primarily women. If you know the reason for that, let me know, because we're still trying to figure this thing out. Except for this church. You know, 2 weeks ago, because I put the schedule together for who does worship and all the things in the service, 2 weeks ago, I forgot that it was Fifth Sunday was coming up. So I'm putting the schedule together that the worship regular worship team going to be up here singing. And I got about 4 or 5 emails saying, hey, don't forget it's Fifth Sunday. Are the men still doing worship? You know, in this church, the men fight to do worship. And I like that. So we must be doing something right. Now with that, wouldn't it be awesome if we had a women's team too? Yeah. So I'm going to challenge you. In fact, we got one coming up. Father's Day, the women are putting together the service. So if you can play an instrument, if you can sing, or just like Jaywin said, the quality of your voice or your talent is not what qualifies you to worship the Lord. What qualifies you is that you are a child of the King, and He is King in your life. That's what qualifies you for worship. So if you are willing and interested, Diane, raise your hand. That's Diane. She's putting together the team for that. And, you know, maybe we'll challenge you to make it a regular thing, yeah? Well, it's a beautiful day today. And on beautiful days here in East Hawaii, what do? We go to the beach. And today, that's what we're doing right after service. Pastor Scott, like, go already. So you know the message is going to be short today. But right after service, we are going down for our water baptism. And water baptism is your public declaration to the Lord. Your private declaration, just between you and Him, was when you raised your hand. You said, yes, I believe in you. I believe that you are Lord and Savior, and I receive your salvation. That one is your private declaration. Nobody else needs to know about it but you and the Lord. But then comes a time when you get to say to the rest of the world that I believe in Jesus Christ, and He is my Lord and Savior. I am saved. You want to hear the story? Come and tell me. But I want to show it to the rest of the world. And that's why we go out in public and we do this water baptism. That's what it's all about. Now, if you have received the Lord recently and it's time for you to make that public declaration, then today is the day. You get to decide on that. But we are going down to Coconut Island right after service. Okay, no designated time. So make it down there. And we're going to enjoy the day and make this public declaration. Now, if you've already received the Lord, you've already been water baptized, then this is our chance to go down as a church, this church called New Hope East Hawaii, and support our brothers and sisters in this, because this is not a small thing. So again, it's a public declaration. It's huge. So let's all go down there and support them. Okay? Again, right after service. Today, Pastor Jaywin wants us to know that if you went to the classrooms over there to take your child and they weren't there, that's because children ages 4 to 10 are in the gym. So feel free to take them and allow them to have some fun there. Okay, on the 10th of February coming up, because like I said last week, Valentine's Day coming up, but we also have a movie night. Good time for a date night. That's Friday, February 10th. And concession will open at 6 o'clock. Movie will start promptly at 6:30, right here, okay? And the movie is Fireproof. So couples, anybody, this is our movie night. We get to be here. You have any questions, see Pastor Scott or Pastor Jaywin or myself. And then every Sunday, join us for New Hope East Hawaii's Bible study group. The group is called A New Journey. It's Now That I've Accepted Jesus, What's Next? And if you have any questions about that, it starts at 8 o'clock, right up in the classrooms over here. You have any questions about that, see John Kui. John, where you at this morning? There's John. go ahead and see him. I believe there might be some flyers still at the table. Okay? You can pick that up as well. And also, again, the movie night, there are flyers at the table as well. Okay, we are going to prepare our hearts to give of our tithes and offerings this morning. And just want you to know again that this tithe, these offerings that we get to give to the Lord, we do so as this church called New Hope East Hawaii. That's what God has called us to do, that we get to give a little bit back to Him of the much that He gives us. And what it is not that He needs our money, but that we get to be a part of what He's doing right here in our community through these gifts. And He takes those gifts, multiplies them like only He can, and then uses them to touch somebody's eternity. That's what He does. That's what we get to be a part of. Now, if you're visiting us from another church, we welcome you here this morning. And we ask that you not give your tithe here. Instead, you take your tithe to your home church, because that's where God has ordained for it to be used there. Now, if you want to give a gift, if God is asking you to give a gift, then please feel free to do so. We thank you greatly. But again, if this is not your home church, take your tithe to your own home church. For those of us who call New Hope East Hawaii our home church, where God has placed us, this is where we get to give. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, indeed we thank you. We thank you for this beautiful day and all that you are doing in it. Lord, we thank you that we get to be a part of what you're doing, that you allow us to be, because you only do great things. So, Father, receive these gifts, these tithes that we give this morning, and use them to further your kingdom, even here in this little place called East Hawaii. As always, Lord, we pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Would you welcome my friend, Pastor Scott Shiroma.
Thank you, Pastor Aaron. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. What a wonderful job he did last week. How many of you last week, this week, practiced patience and kindness? Patience and kindness. How many of you was tested? Wasn't it a rough thing? Patience and kindness all week. When I was just starting to get irritated, patience and kindness. Shelby reminded me Monday, patience and kindness. And she was telling me, I had a rough morning. And all I was thinking, patience and kindness, patience and kindness. And I was thinking about that all week when people were driving slow in front of me. Patience and kindness. Stuck in traffic, patience and kindness. Back in the long line that's expressed, patience and kindness. Going to Safeway on a Friday, but you need patience and kindness. I swear. Man, Friday is the day to go to every other market. Yeah. But that was a wonderful message. We dwelt on it all week, and I hope we learn to apply it. And not only just last week, but for the rest of your life. Amen? Well, today, we get to figure out what love isn't. Have you ever thought love? Man, I got this thing all figured out. I know what it is. I know how to express it. I know how to receive it and give it. But what if I told you that most of us, or many of us, may have the wrong idea of love? Not me. But, you see, according to the World's Dictionary, how many of you look up words in the dictionary? Yeah. I mean, for me, I need the dictionary because I don't understand so many words, but the World's Dictionary defined love as a feeling. And if we believe the dictionary, then we would believe that love is a feeling. You know, like, if you look at the dictionary, if you look up, right? Up. But what about messed up? What about bus up? Is that up? The dictionary might be wrong. But the World's Dictionary defined love as a feeling. But this is what I get about love and it being a feeling. The feeling of love is, think about it now, is about oneself. How I feel about a person, or how a person makes me feel. It is completely about me and not the other person. And I don't think that is love, not real love. I think real love is about unselfishness, about the other person and how we treat the other person, how we act towards them, how we choose to show up at a moment's notice in our relationship with that person. Whether we show up with honesty and courage, encouragement, warmth, gratitude, or whether we show up, you know, moody, dishonest, fearful, ungrateful. Love shows up no matter how we feel. And now, if we show up moody or grumpy, that's attitude and that's another sermon. Love cannot be forced on someone. You cannot make someone love you. Have you ever tried? Buy them all kinds of gifts and stuff and they still don't love you. What's going on, man? I spent $20,000 on this car and you still don't love me. I spent $150,000 on this house and you still don't love me. You can't buy love. You cannot pay someone to love you. Love is not having sex, okay? Sex is just sex. It isn't love. Maybe you can buy loyalty, companionship, attention, perhaps compassion, but I believe love in itself cannot be bought. Love cannot be turned on as a reward or turned off as a punishment. Only something else pretending to be love can be used like a lure or bait, insinuated. But the real thing must come from the heart. I thought that I had this love thing figured out. You know, I thought at an early age that I got this thing, love. It's easy, piece of cake. I helped around the house. I did my share of cooking. I did my share of laundry. I cleaned the bathroom once in a while. Noticed a lot of I's in there, yeah? It was about me. But after reading the Bible, I realized I had a lot to learn about love, and I had it all wrong. This morning, I get to share with you what love isn't. How funny, yeah, God would have chosen me to tell you what love isn't. Because for so many years, I thought I was doing love, but I was wrong. So I guess God used that for this very moment. Man, if love, okay, this is my definition of love at, you know, 16, 17, 18, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Man, if that was it, I would have had it right. But I was wrong. Man, I had it all wrong. Love is not that. And here's the first thing that I want to tell you love is. Love is not a feeling. I don't care what the dictionary says. Remember last week, Pastor Aaron, he spoke on 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. We know that as the love chapter. And we got this. Love is patient and kind. And I asked this question to a lot of people. During the week, how will you practice patience and kindness with your family? And it's like, ooh, that was hard. How do you practice patience and kindness at your workplace? And like, oh, and we all kind of brought it to reality. It's like, how in a practical way can we practice patience and kindness? And it's something that I want you to just dwell on constantly, patience and kindness. Because love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous, does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then continue, love never fails. Love is something that it just like, it is or it isn't. It isn't something you develop. You know, it's something that, you know, when you read the word, it teaches you what it is. Feeling love seems to be wonderful. But what happens when the feeling is gone, when it's no longer? What happens when the sounds grow empty and the colors turn to gray? What happens when the feeling dies? The embers grow cold, the lights go out. What happens to this kind of like Hollywood-based feeling when the parties experience the fluctuating character of their feeling? What happens when one or the other begins to have growing feelings for someone else? I swear the dictionary, you look it up, love, a feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection. What happens when the feeling goes away? Because real love shows up no matter what you're feeling like, right? Sometimes you feel grouchy, but if you love that person, you show up. Matthew 5:44 says this, "But I say to you," this is Jesus now, "love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you." Jesus gives a command, love your enemies. Love your enemies. If love was a feeling, wouldn't you like to punch your enemies, shoot your enemies, stab your enemies, cuss your enemies, tell your enemies they're number one? Right? If love was a feeling, we wouldn't be able to do this. Love is not a feeling. If we followed our feelings, we might end up in jail because we might hurt somebody. Because we naturally, to love your enemies is very hard. I guess only through the power of the Holy Spirit can we love our enemies, pray for enemies, because love, I don't think it's a feeling. Okay? Number two, love is not getting. Listen to all these verses. Proverbs 25:21. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. John 3:16. You know this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. You see, I believe true love is concerned with getting? Or is true love concerned with giving? The world's philosophy, love is getting. Getting what I can out of somebody. Using the other person as an object. Using them to get what I can. And when I'm through with that person, it's fine. Then on to the next. It's like a bee goes to the flower. When the nectar is all gone, used up, go to the next one, and then the next one. That's the world vision of love. The life of self, living for self, pleasing yourself, fulfilling the desires of self, putting myself before others. is based upon the sinful proposition that it's more blessed to receive than give. But what did Jesus tell us in Acts? It is more blessed to than receive. Now that is real love. And according to 1 Corinthians 13, love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Love is not arrogant, rude, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Oh, how many times when somebody got something back, oh, I say, yeah, good for you. You ever, I was on the receiving end of that one time when I stuck out my middle finger to my friend. And not a minute later, I slammed it with the checkered face framing hammer. And he rejoiced, man. He said, see? You see, God works in mysterious ways. But he was just rejoicing at my suffering. You know, and I was like, wow. How many of you did that? You know, when something with your spouse, and you see, ha ha, good for you. That is not love. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. You see, these things are listed in the Bible. And it is listed so that we pay attention to it. We stay away from these things because that is what love is not. It's not jealous. It's not brag. Not arrogant, rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not provoked. Man, I've been through so many sessions with counseling with people where one person, they just know how to push the other's buttons. Man, and they push them in the right way. And whoo, watch out, fireworks, man. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered and does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Look at these points. All of them. It's not a feeling. It's not seeking yourself, your own things. Try to see if you are truly, truly practicing what love is. Or are you practicing what love isn't? Man, for so many years, I practiced what love isn't. I thought I was on the right track. But man, like I said, without the Bible as a gauge, you might be thinking you're doing all right. But when you open up the words and you read it and you understand it and you realize, like, wow. That's me. I need to change. Now, do you really know what love is and what love isn't? Man, throw away the thoughts of what you thought love is and let the Bible be your guide on love. Read the Bible and let it explain to you what love is, what love does, what love isn't. You know, one final thought. I want to leave you with one final thing that I believe God spoke to me after I put all these messages together. But understand this, sometimes love is not nice. Sometimes love is not nice. I mean, if you had a child and that child lied to you or that child stole from someone or the store, love is not always nice. You say, oh, that's okay. We'll figure this out. Don't worry. Man, if that was my child, the first time I caught my children in a lie, I made sure I gave them what they deserve so that they would never want to do it again. Understand what I'm saying? I mean, if your child stole, you would probably want to, you know, because if I say it, you might take it out of context and say, oh, Pastor Scott said, beat the crap out of them. And I'm not saying that, but this is what the Bible says. Hebrews 12:6. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son who he receives. So God is a great God. But when it comes to disciplining us, he will discipline us because he loves us, and He's not going to say, "Oh, that's okay, Scott. We'll let this one slide." No way. Proverbs 13:24, and this is what the Bible says, right? He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Ouch. Proverbs 23:13-14. Don't hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, I did not say that, the Bible says that, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue him from Sheol. See, love is not a feeling. Love is not getting. And sometimes love is not nice. Have you ever had to discipline your child and you said, you know what, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you? And as a child, you don't understand that because you're not, you know, as a child, I'm the one getting the cracks. I'm the one getting hurt. But then as an adult, when you discipline your child, it breaks your heart. It hurts more than on the receiving end of it. So sometimes love is not always nice. And, you know, I asked a friend one time, you know, if you went to church, what did you like to hear? What kind of message? First thing is like, well, I'm not a church-going person. But if you did go to church, what would you want to hear? I want to hear a message about raising kids, because nowadays, some of the kids that you see, they just have no respect, they don't listen. And I think, yeah, sometimes we need to smack the parents, you know? And yeah, if my kids were rotten, I expect somebody wouldn't have to slap me because I didn't do my job. Maybe I didn't do Proverbs 23:13-14 well enough, yeah? But sometimes love is not nice, right? But love disciplines. Love is not a feeling. Love is not getting. And love is a lot of things that you find is not the things that you, some of the things you find in 1 Corinthians 13, but it's more things that what love is not. Use the word, use the Bible, and engage yourself. Measure. Don't measure your love by watching somebody else. Oh, look, he brings her flowers every week. Don't measure your love or you're doing love by somebody else. Measure your love according to what the Word of God says. And you cannot go wrong. Because if you measure your love by looking at me, you might get in trouble. You know, because you can ask my wife, sometimes I still mean to her. God is working on me. I'm his masterpiece. And like some masterpieces takes longer than others, I'm just in that stage where God is taking a long time with me. You know why? I had to put in overtime because I was just a messy lump of clay. So you got to thank God that he's still working on me and he's not done yet. Amen? Hey, this is the fifth Sunday, so I'm going to give you time. On the fifth Sunday, we take a missions offering. And what the missions offering does, okay, we have missionaries that we can support that's all over the world, and they're doing great things. One of the things that we do to support our missionary is Foursquare Missions Press. And what Foursquare Missions Press does, they print valuable material that they give out to these missionaries all over the world. So I figure when we support Foursquare Missions Press, we're not just supporting one missionary, but we're supporting them all. We have printing presses in countries where the Bible is illegal, and we print material for our missionaries in those countries so that they can reach these people in foreign countries. And if you go to Foursquare, our website, you can read about all the amazing things that are happening through our Foursquare missions. They just did a project in Egypt by giving out gospel boxes to thousands and thousands of children. And the result was they came to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if you want to support the mission field by giving, then go ahead. If you want to go, let us know. We'll send you someplace to equip you to go. And if you cannot give, then I will ask you this. Pray about it. So I'll give you time to prepare. Pastor Dennis is going to come up and receive our missions offering. So I'd like to invite Pastor Dennis to come up. Pastor Dennis, oh, there he is. A wonderful men's pastor. Would you welcome Pastor Dennis? Let me get you something to speak into. Here you go. You need a string. Oh, just kidding. Only the old guys will know that, yeah? The phone with the string. The young guys, they don't know what is that.
Okay, how many of you are thinking to yourself, wow, my parents really loved me? I think grandparents need to know how to love their grandchildren, though. We spoil them, yeah? One of the things that I always think about when it comes down to missions, someone once told me that they go to a church and they're always asking for or giving and that they're reaching out. But biblically, that's what the Bible tells us to do. Not only are we the tithes and offerings that you give here, we go out and plant seeds or we reach out to those around here. But we tend to neglect, or not so much neglect, but we don't see what's going on in the third world countries, yeah? And believe it or not, when the first time that I had given to missions, I didn't know. I said, okay, well, you know, I'll give. But as soon as one gives, God opens up your eyes to see what you gave to. He doesn't open up your eyes before it happens. Oh, you might see maybe on television when they advertise or perhaps maybe you heard. But when you give, God allows you to see what you're doing because he wants you to do it out in faith and out of your heart. If we were here telling you what you're doing and you saw it right away, that somehow doesn't relate to faith and love as much as if you did it first and then God revealed it to you. It seems like that's the way that God has us programmed, is that he wants us to step forward first. He's not going to go and reveal it to you. Human nature, that's what we do. We kind of want to see first. It seems that we have the eyes so that we need to see to believe. But God is saying, no. There are people in a third world country, and I know that I've talked about this before, where I have a son who worked, or he served in the Air Force, and he got to see it firsthand. Oh, my gosh. Did he ever make me cry? Because he was out there and seeing it, and God revealed it to him how people live in the third world countries and that they don't have. We're rich by beyond means in comparison to how they live out there. They don't get to hear. But that's what God is calling us. God is calling us to not only reach out over here, but reach out throughout the world. Scripture tells us that, is that we need to preach the gospel to the world. I understand that there are times that we are suffering or we are hardships and it's hard to let go. But the Bible tells us about how Jesus recognizes those that have, that gave at the altar, and how a widow would walk in and give all that she had. And he, in comparison, told those around him that this widow who gave of all that she has, how blessed she would be. And so this morning, as perhaps maybe that you're, even if you give out of the little that you have, it's a lot to the third world country. There's a lot that can be done just by the little that you give, because it's not only this church. It's asked of all the churches. And if you were to combine every single church out of one giver of the little that you gave, how much it would multiply to be reaching out to those that are on the world. Let's bow our head and pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have, that you so generously gave us that we are able to give back. And not just for those that surround us here, but those that are out there, that we give it to you to go and reach out to the lost ones in the world so that everyone would be able to receive the word, the gospel, and the love that you so graciously brought to us where we're at. Lord, bless the offerings and the mission offerings that are being given this morning. And we pray that you would multiply it, that it would reach those who are in need. We pray this now in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen.
Amen.